You know, it's been, I've been thinking through this whole slowdown. What happens if tomorrow, if they say you could go back to normal life? Would you be doing the exact same thing before this virus hit? Or you actually take time now and spend time with the Lord, like you've been doing now? Would we go back to our normal routine? Or would we go back, or would we stay doing the things that we're doing right now? Pressing in and to know who the Lord is, to hear His voice, to know His heart. I think this has been a good thing for us because we've been so busy and caught up, and I think sometimes we lose sight of what God is doing in our midst. I think we get caught up with work. We think, oh, we've got to do this. Like, not enough hours in the day. Or there's so many things. Basketball, hockey, soccer. I got to do this. I got to do that. This is, I think God's making us realize what the important things are in life. You know, I've been thinking about last week's message. And in regards to how Jesus revealed himself to the disciples, and how he encouraged, and how he strengthened them, and how he took their doubts away, right? And I think sometimes we have doubts. Lord, what are you doing in this season? Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this season? And the only way to know that is actually spending time with him. Reading his word, listen to his voice, to really get to know his heart, and not to be distracted by everything in this world seems to be offering us, which is nothing. It's only it's a temporal satisfaction. It's not eternal satisfaction. It's very temporal. It might only last 50 or 60 years or 7 years. That's very minute. When you think of eternity, think of eternity. This is just a speck of our existence. And the speck of our existence, do we really want to know who the Lord is? Do we really want to hear his voice? You know, I think when we spend time with the Lord, reading, meditating on his word, walking in obedience, abiding to the word of God, we're speaking to our brothers and sisters, and how it positively impacts our lives, and how it really stirs in us the love for Christ, the passion for Christ. I know it's amazing when you start talking about the Lord more and more, you realize there's a passion that grows. You cannot stop talking about who the Lord is. It's contagious. Right? It's amazing how often believers, we don't talk enough about the Lord. We just kind of simply brush it and say, yes, we talk about the Lord a bit, then we talk about everything else. But perhaps if we would talk more about who the Lord is, who he really is in our lives. What happens if we would turn back to our first love? That he would be our first love. He'd be our first thought when we wake up morning. We sang that this morning. Lord, when I wake up this morning, then my first thought would be you. Thank you, Lord, for my breath that I just took because of you. Our last thought throughout the day would be of the Lord, of his mercy and grace upon our lives as we really spent time with him throughout the day, that we actually habitated with him. I think during this time, it's awakening to the body of Christ to be actively thinking of who our Savior is. You know, our faith is not built on theology or philosophy or a story about who Jesus is or positive thinking, but it's through a personal encounter with him, walking with him, abiding with him, learning to know his character and to know his heart. And how do you do that? It's by reading his word, listening to his voice, being captivated by who he is. You know, I think about in nature, you see the beauty of the stars and you see the beauty of the mountains and how he created all that. And that's a reminder of a great God who put everything, he spoke it into existence. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we love. That's the God that we are here to adore. And it's a reminder of his greatness. You know, when we think of how we met Jesus, where he met us on that road, our own Damascus road, how he radically changed our life. Before that, he was wooing us to him, and all of a sudden you have this personal encounter with him, and you think, wow, Lord, you've been there all the time, and I've been so blind that I haven't seen your face or heard your voice. But in a moment in time, he knows the time when your heart is ready to receive him. And he radically changes you. And when he does that, takes hold of your life, you're not the same person that you once was. He continues to change you, sanctify us, to have us grow in godly character, to lay down the things that are not really of the new nature. You know, the Lord opens up the scriptures to his disciples so that they would know him more personally, to know his heart and character. As we continue to abide in the Lord, we begin to recognize his voice more clearly. And with confidence that we do this, because we have confidence because his word gives us confidence. It's not my confidence, it's his confidence that as I spend time meditating on his word. When we meditate, when believers meditate, it's not us emptying our mind. It is filling our mind with the word of God. Right? So when you hear about meditating on the word of God, it's actually telling us to fill our minds with the word of God, not empty them. That's scary when you do that. But when you fill your mind with the word of God, it transforms our thoughts, our attitudes, our behaviors. It changes how we see things. It changes the lens of our glasses so we could actually start seeing clearly. When I take off my glasses, I'm amazed how terrible I have bad sight. It's like, Lord, how come I've been so stubborn for so long not to wear my glasses? Because I don't want to think I'm older. You know, I think sometimes we're stubborn and we don't want to change, but he wants us to change, and by the work of the Holy Spirit he changes us. You know, he speaks and responds to his children in ways like a good earthly dad does. As his children, our Heavenly Father wants to assure, comfort, counsel, motivate, protect, teach, provide, discipline, forgive, show mercy, gives grace, and to build godly character in us. And if we are hearing his voice, all those things happen. It's when we choose not to listen to him or to obey or abide in him. That's when that's scary, because we start doing our own thing. When we allow pride to enter in, it's a scary thing. We as disciples in Yeshua, we need to be teachable. I still learn. I learn every day. God wants us to have a teachable heart, not a proud heart. You know, he is perfect. He is the perfect father. He wants to pour out and give the best to his children. Would you receive the best from him? That's the question. Are we willing to receive the best from our Father? Or are we selling for what the world could bring or give us that is temporal? 1 John 1:3 says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life. John 17:3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the Heavenly Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know the Heavenly Father and to know who Jesus is, the who he sent to save us, to redeem us, to sanctify us, who intercedes for us. Jesus in Scripture speaks that to live, we need to be sustained by him. For us to live, we need to be sustained by Jesus. When we talk to him, he happily responds. He also takes the initiative to speak. You know, before I became a believer, I never think, oh, I should go and talk to God. Totally contrary to that. It was him always speaking to me, always drawing me to get my attention to him. He wants to speak to you. Are you willing to take the time to stop and to listen? And I thank God for this season we're in right now, because it's actually given us time to stop and to think, to meditate, and to know his very heart. And that's amazing. That shows the love of God, that he wants us to have our first love back onto him. I think of in Revelation how the first church, he says, you have lost your first love. And I think how many times we go to church on Sunday, we do this and do that, but we lost our first love. And that's Jesus. Because we don't give him enough time in our daily life. That we only may pray like 5 or 10 minutes. Don't really know him. But when we start to spend more and more and more time with him, we get to know his very heart. You know, during this season in our lives, I believe the Lord has drawn his children to get into his living word, that our eyes will be turned onto him, that our first love would be the Lord Jesus, who gives us his peace that surpasses all things and reveal eternal life, and our hope is only found in Christ. Eternal hope. That our eyes would not be content in the things of this world. Like I said, they only bring temporal satisfaction. Think of it. Satan wants you to be distracted, not to know who Christ is. I think when we start to know who Christ is, believers would be overflowing with joy, overflowing with hope, overflowing with confidence, because they know the heart of God, because they spend intimate time with the Lord. It's not our joy, it's not our confidence, but it's the confidence that we get from spending time, personal time with him, to know his very heart. Perhaps you never thought of this, and hearing God's voice is a spiritual birthright as a child of Abba Father. As children of God, it's our spiritual birthright to hear and to spend time with, habitating with him. Building a habit to be with him. I say this to encourage you that you don't always need to go to others to hear from God's to hear God's voice. God wants to spend, I think that's the downfall. When we go and think I need to go to so-and-so because they hear from God, you might just go to a psychic. When I think about that. Psychics, because we think about that. But God wants us, don't go to psychics. That's a different story. But don't go to somebody because you know that they hear from God. But God wants to speak to you personally. And that's my thought. And that's what I desire for all of us to know, to how to hear God's voice clearly, and to know that he is speaking to us right now, and that he wants to draw you closer to himself so that we would know him. You know, it should be the normal, not the not the unexpected to hear God's voice. It should be normal for the church when we spend time praying and actually fasting to hear God's voice. Not to be, oh, God spoke to me. But it should be almost like an everyday occurrence. The question is not, is God still speaking? The question is, are we listening? The question is not, is God still speaking? The question is, are we listening? Jesus implored all seven churches of Asia, he who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation 2:7. So God speaks in different ways, right? We read that through Scripture, how he spoke in different seasons to people throughout the Bible. And there's a list of so many people, and God still speaks today. He's still speaking. So God speaks in a way of, well, one is an audible voice. Though seemingly rare, God has and still can speak audibly. I've only known a few people that have ever heard an audible voice of God. It's very rare you hear it. But then he speaks through dreams and visions. He says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, that young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. Acts 2:17. Another way God speaks is through signs. Is it wrong to ask God for a sign? It depends on your motive. Right? Don't go by signs and wonders to direct you, because that could be a scary thing. Don't go by goosebumps and I get the shivers up my arms. Don't go by feelings, but go by what the Word of God says. The written word. That's how God speaks, through his written word, through the Logos. The Bible is the main way God speaks today, but it's not the only way. Logos is God's general word for everyone, the promise. His promises is for everyone. And then God speaks through the living word. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So when he speaks the living word to a promise, that's a rhema word. It's a personally for you in that moment in time. Maybe to answer to a prayer. And to really to inspire you. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He's trying to inspire you, trying to encourage you. He's trying to say, you know what, carry on. You're doing this. You trust in me and I'm going to help you through it. He's like, come on, you're doing it. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus today. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look at that. Keep your eyes fixed on the prize, and that's Christ. He speaks through people. When he speaks through people, he's already spoken to you about what he's already kind of gave you an answer, but when he speaks through people, it's confirmation of what he's been speaking to you about already. That's key. He always gives you confirmation. Through creation and in nature. Psalm 9:19-11 says, proclaims that the heavens declare to the glory of God, and the firmity, the heavens of the heavens or the sky shows his handiwork. He does that so nobody can say that they never knew God. Everybody is accountable. Because when you look up to see the skies and the clouds, you're like, how did that happen? There is a creator. One that put everything and spoke everything into existence. It points back to God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It points back to him. There is a God. He truly exists. He formed you in your mother's womb. He speaks through our conscience. God hardwired us with the inner awareness of right and wrong. God created that everyone that's why I say God knew you and formed you in the mother's womb, because he put that in you to know what is right and wrong. And his still small voice. I think of 1 Kings 19, 9 to 12. It says, Elijah was camping in a cave of Mount Sinai. When God manifested himself, Elijah saw a powerful wind, a mighty earthquake, and a fierce fire. But God was not in any of them. Instead, God spoke to him in a still, small voice, or a gentle whisper. Do you notice all the banging and clanging before this turndown? We didn't really hear God's voice. But now, God has taken away the storm, the earthquakes, so the hustle and bustle of this world, so that his children will hear his small, still voice. Are you listening to his voice? That's the question. He's taken away all the distractions that get us caught up and take us away from him, so that we could listen and spend time with him, devote our lives to him, out of admiration and love for him, for all that he has and still is doing in our lives. God often speaks to us by the inner witness, aka the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 14 to 16. He gives us the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to warn us, to lead us, to say, you know what, maybe you shouldn't be watching that. Maybe you shouldn't be saying that. Maybe you should be doing what I've asked you to do. Maybe he's going to convict you of something. Maybe he's going to be encouraging you. But it's listening to the Holy Spirit. God will speak to us more often as we learn to recognize his voice. We expect to hear from... Sometimes we expect, well, I can only hear from God in church. That's not true. Because God wants to speak to us throughout the whole week. To be a daily, ongoing occurrence. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. And so if we hear his voice, we are going to follow after him and not be carried away with the whims of this world. When we hear his voice, it will stir us to follow him and to keep our eyes fixed on him. You know, God is still speaking. And are you listening? That's the question. You know, last week I was really encouraged. I'm going to ask Nina to come up. And Nina's going to be 12 feet from me. And I was really encouraged by her testimony of how God spoke to her. And so at this time, when she comes up, don't be nervous. Nobody's going to bite. It's really encouraging that God doesn't just speak. He speaks to all his children. And so we listen to Nina. I'll turn the camera. Turn. Here we go. There we go. Okay.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, you have to turn that button. It's a spare one.
Test? It's on? Good. Hi, everyone. Oh, there we go. So what I want to share with you today is something that happened to me only a couple weeks ago, so I'm excited to share with you while it's still fresh in my mind. A couple weeks ago, my very dear aunt of mine in Victoria was put in the hospital, and she had terminal cancer. And we had received a phone call from the doctor, and the doctor had said, medically speaking, that she was only given a few days left to live. So if anybody wanted to come and see her, visit her, talk to her, now would be the time to do so. So, of course, I was extremely, extremely emotional about it. It hit me hard. And with everything else happening around us, I had asked Nathaniel, I said, can we go? I mean, there's stuff happening all around us. Are we allowed to leave our home? There's things shutting down. Can we go and see her? And Nathaniel said, well, pray about it. So that's what I did. I went on into the living room. I sat down on the couch, and I had this Bible of mine, the translation Bible, sitting beside me. And I started praying to God. And I was so specific about what I was praying about. I was not asking God if we should go. I was asking God, can we go? That I was so specific in my prayer. Can we go? And I was also asking God to give me a clear answer, because sometimes I struggle with some of the words in the Bible. I wanted a clear answer, just something that I can easily understand, and that's what I had asked for. Amen. So I prayed, and I finished my prayer, and I kind of sat there, and my Bible was sitting there, and I had picked up my Bible, and I had opened it to the book of Ezra, and in this Bible, so there's this, the end of 2 Chronicles, and then Ezra, and I had chosen to read, even though usually you read left to right, I did choose to read Ezra first. So I started reading, and I got to the middle, and I said, God, if you are giving me an answer, I'm not understanding. Please just give me a clear message. I'm not understanding. And of course, I was getting emotional about it, and I wasn't doubting. I was just extremely emotional, and I was not receiving an answer. So I finished the first page, and I wasn't getting an answer. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to finish reading, so I'm going to read the page before this. And I got just about finished reading it, and I got to the very last little bit, and I said, God, I still haven't heard anything. I don't understand. If you're telling me something, it's not clear. And the very last three words in this say, you may go.
Amen.
It actually says, you may go. Like the last three words.
Amen.
So God gave me my answer. He gave Amen. Me the answer that I needed to hear. Of course, I kind of fought it along the way, because I was not getting the message right away. But until I finished reading it, I mean, He made it clear to me, and if that's not a clear answer, I mean, I don't know what is.
Amen.
So hopefully my story can encourage everybody that if they're looking for an answer, or if they just want to talk to God, that He is listening, and He will answer you on His time and in His way, but He is there.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Thanks, Nina. Isn't that great to be encouraged knowing that God answers, not in our timing, but His timing, to press in, don't give up. So as we close today, we're going to do a last song. I think it's great when we hear testimonies from other believers, that encourages us to press in and not to give up. As the body of Christ, we get together, we're supposed to encourage one another in the faith and not to be discouraged. So encourage one another in the faith. Encourage one another by the word of God.
said that if I thirst, I should come to him.
Try that again now that we have sound.
Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to him. 'Cause no one else can satisfy, I should come. Stay.